something that is very precious, and this is a sort of sharing time tonight. It's a very precious piece of scripture, and it comes from Romans chapter 8. For those of you who are here this morning, you know that we were there for both services. But in the 8th chapter of Romans, we read something that's fascinating in verse 17. And I do so want to share this with you. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint or co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. In the old version it says joint heirs with Christ. That is, we are one with Jesus. We are one with Jesus. But I wonder if you really understand that from a legal point of view. Let's say a man has a ranch and it's worth X number of dollars, and he dies, but he has four sons, and he leaves his ranch to those four sons. They will be heirs to the ranch. That means they'll get 25% each. Of course, after the death taxes and all that sort of nonsense, they won't have too much, but in principle, they will get 25% of that ranch. We all knew that. A co-heir or joint heir, let's say that same farmer died, but he had made a will, and in his will he said, all my sons, my four sons, are co- or joint heirs. That would mean that each son equally owned the entire ranch. So each son could say, that house is mine, that barn is mine, those cattle are mine. And each son would be absolutely accurate. Now you can see why the lawyers don't tell you that. It would be very confusing. But they are joint heirs. That is, they are co-inheritors. Look at the scripture in verse 17 of Romans 8. We are co-joint inheritors, heirs with Christ. Everything that is promised to Jesus is promised to you. Everything that is given to Jesus is given to you. Now do you see the enormity of what God has done? When he saved you, he said, all that Jesus has is yours. You are a joint inheritor. You are a co-heir. You inherit whatever Jesus inherits, you inherit. When you look at that, it means that every person in this room that says and knows within their heart that they are born again people, people that have been saved by the blood of Jesus and are trusting in the shed blood of Christ, such people can say, heaven belongs to me. When Jesus came back from the dead, he had already inherited on our behalf all of heaven. Now, in spite of the fact that I am still in sinful flesh, I can say without shadow of a doubt and without fear of contradiction, heaven is mine. Period. Heaven is mine. Now, if you want to get into the nitty-gritty, the jasper streets, the burnished gold, the pearly gates, the ivory palaces, they are mine. You can say the same words that they're yours. We are co-joint heirs to this inheritance. We are inheritors of what Christ Jesus purchased. What exactly did he purchase when we speak of him purchasing our salvation? He purchased eternity. And we are co-inheritors of that eternity. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Isn't that something to just lick your lips about? We often just run through this. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co or joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Let me talk just briefly about sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Some people feel that they should wear sackcloth and ashes on their head, and they should be poverty-stricken that they may suffer for Christ. That's not the scripture. Some people will say, well, there was a martyr over yonder place, and there in Oxford, in England, that man was martyred in such a terrifying way, and he was lashed to a stake in the ground, and they burned him alive. He suffered for Christ. Well, there's a sense in which he did, but I don't believe yet we have reached what is happening and what we're what the scripture's talking about. We say that with Jim Elliot and Nat Saint and those other dear young men in 1950-51 who died in Ecuador with spears thrust through their bodies on a beach, people now have repented and believed the gospel for their death, and we say surely they suffered for Christ. But really, what is suffering for Christ? Paul says to the church at Corinth, I want you to understand, you've all got a gift. Everybody's got a gift. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody is a prophet. Not everybody is an evangelist. Not everybody is an administrator. Not everybody speaks in tongues. And not everybody is an interpreter. Not everybody heals. We all have differing gifts, but there is one Spirit that gives us these gifts. Shall the foot say to the head, because I am the foot and not the head, I have nothing to do with you? He says that's silly. But when the foot is hurting, the head knows it and it registers in the brain. And when the eye is hurting, the face knows it and that registers in the body. And when the back is aching, a headache may form and the dragging of a foot may result. And when a vital organ is dysfunctioning, the whole body system is put out of joint, out of kilter. And the result of that is we all in the body suffer. Some of you sitting in here are grieved from the loss of loved ones. Some of you are anxious and worried about this, that, and the other. Your body isn't doing what it used to do. Your mind doesn't remember as it used to. A lot of us suffer from that one. Some of you are even bothered about tomorrow. The last mailing of tomorrow night. And you're worrying about that. And some of you have little secret chunks of sin that you're not sharing, not being honest about. You're not confessing. I don't think you have to confess it in front of people, but you do have to confess it to Jesus. And some of you are blatant with sin, careless with sin, casual with sin, secretive with sin. One thing is for sure, no one in this congregation is any better than anybody else. And we're all in the family of God. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God, we sing. But when you're hurting, we suffer. Jamba made some remarks, and because you're newlyweds, you have to bear the brunt of this. made some remarks and said that Kenny and Robin were sort of got high colors. This is their first Sunday after getting married where they're truly Mr. and Mrs. and they're sitting in the pew together. Now you can righteously hold hands. But you know, the joy is we all rejoice with you. We rejoice with you. We make flippant remarks, but we rejoice. And all the body rejoices. It's not all negative. Steve Martin played soccer in England, discovered they make terrible food. Doesn't even like their food. Well, I'm sorry about that. That's what your dad said. But we're so glad you had a good time even in England. And we're so glad that you came back safely. We rejoice in that. You prayed for him, some of you, didn't you? While he was gone? Maybe you have to catch up now. The whole body suffers. Jack and Stacy Hyland, worried about Grandmama, still in China, hoping to come home tomorrow, day after. Little things like oxygen bottles on airplanes, holding up her transportation to come home. We are all anxious about that. We all are involved. We are the family of God. We are family. We are family. Some of you are English. That's the better part of the family, of course. Some are Welsh. Well, I won't say too much. And so, all of you started somewhere other than here. You may not remember it, but you all started somewhere else. We all are family. We are family. We rejoice and we hurt. And we suffer and we hurt. And we praise God and we rejoice in the joy that is unspeakable because of Jesus. Hey, we are joint heirs. There's not one of us in here is worthy of the inheritance that we're going to inherit. Not a single one of us is worthy. But every one of us is going to receive it. Now, some of us have been building lives of gold and silver and precious gems and wood and hay and stubble. And when fire comes, the wood, the hay, the stubble will be consumed, but the gold and the silver and the gems will remain. What have you been building? Oh, I know. I'm the pastor. But you know what my job is in this family, as far as the scripture is concerned, giving an account to God for every one of you. I took a day this last week and I sat in a private place and I talked to God about you. I gossiped with the Lord. I gossiped about all of you. I was real concerned about the Farrars, very concerned about the Cossos, concerned about Eula Mustaine, who doesn't steer a straight course anymore. We think perhaps if we didn't know her better, she'd gotten to the communion wine. Talked about all of you. And some of you may be your visitors and you come on and off. But I said, Lord, you know that fellow's face, that lady's face. We're both looking at it now. I'm praying for that person. Because that's, I don't like the word, but that's part of the ministry. It's part of my job. It's a joy. But God holds me responsible to give an account for each one of you. For the little ones, Scotty, who gets up to mischief. His parents who worry, or should. To Beau, who sits up there and twiddles the knobs and gets the slide going. He's never quite sure whether I've turned my microphone on or not. And so it goes on. We're joint heirs. We're family. Can you catch that concept? Membership in this church is just joining a portion of the family of God. And because of that, it's a great joy for me as pastor on behalf of everyone here to welcome into fellowship different people. And over the years, I must have welcomed thousands into different churches. Each person I've given a separate and different, I believe, text to. And these little texts, I thank God for. You can understand when I give you a text, it's not because I sat down and said, oops, I've got to give somebody a text. What text can I give them? But because I sat before the Lord and said, Lord, what text shall I give this person? And when the partnership of the Spirit of God and I were in agreement, then it was written down. So when you get these cards and these texts, they're not from me at all. They're of God. You can be sure of that. You can be sure. I want you to remember carefully how beautifully the Lord just deals with us. Tonight we have to sort of speed up the process a little bit because Mr. and Mrs. Coombs have to get back to the mission to make sure the evening meeting goes well that starts in about 40 minutes. But it's so nice to be in the presence of our Lord as family, the family of God. We're joint heirs, co-heirs. Isn't that terrific? I'm as rich as you, you're as rich as me. In heaven, you're not going to be better and I'm not going to be worse. And I won't be better and you won't be worse. We'll be one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that terrific? So I'm going to ask Bernadette Coombs. Is it Combs? Combs, I'm sorry. I was saying Coombs. Bernadette, would you come here, please? From 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 7. Unto you, therefore, Jesus is precious. The Lord bless you. And Jeffrey, if you'd come here, please. This is from Psalm 118.
Amen.
And verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. When I think of your conversion, how precious, what a marvel you are. But how marvelous Jesus is to get you.
Thank you, brother.
Elizabeth Leppard, please. This is from Psalm 119 and verse 50, where the Lord says, this is my comfort. The Lord hath quickened me. The Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Jim, please. I should say James on the card, it's James. This is a long one. It's from, you're a long person. Ephesians 2:10. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Lord bless you, my brother. God bless.